Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, a writer with the Business Day and Financial Mail. And for today, we're going to be talking about what it means for South Africa in the global economy to be attending some of the events that have been going on this week. And we're also going to be exploring some of the big economic stories from the last week, the ANC's meeting, the president had a bit of a press conference earlier this week making some remarks, and the ongoing sagas around what's going on with SOEs, as well as last week we had the Reserve Bank making their first interest rate decision for the year, and the IMF actually gave its projections on where it thinks South Africa's economy is going to be headed in 2020. So it's going to be quite an interesting show, and to unpack some of these issues we are joined by Francois Conradi, who is a senior political economist with NKC African Economics. Francois, how are you?
Hi, Mariwe. Good evening.
Thank you so much for joining us on our show. Now, just to begin with, this week, South Africa was participating in a number of international economic conferences. There was the UK Africa Investment Summit that was in London, together with the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, which I think is still ongoing. And in both cases, these are places where we would expect President Cyril Ramaphosa to be in attendance. But for this week, he has deployed Finance Minister Tito Mboweni, together with Dr. Pando, the Minister for Trade and Industry, that's Ibrahim Patel, to go on his behalf to some of these events. What do you make of the President not attending some of these issues? Is it that he doesn't want to meet with global leaders, or is it more important for him to, you know, stay and fix the issues at home?
I'm sure he wanted to go and would have liked to, but then he stayed at home to deal with business in government, and more especially in the party. So the ANC now had a national executive committee meeting on Friday and Saturday, followed by the Khotla on Sunday and Monday. And that was a very important place for him to be. He couldn't have missed that, especially as there'd been pressure on, indirect pressure on the president via Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan. In the weeks, 10 days before the weekend, there was a lot of Pravin must fall talk, pressure also for a decision to move Eskom out of the Public Enterprises portfolio. So the weekend was the occasion for the president to impose his view of how these things should happen. And he seems to have done that fairly successfully. So on Monday, it was remarkable that he gave the closing speech after the Lekotla. That's usually the job of the Secretary General. So instead, the president gave the speech, emphasized unity, and said a few things. I mean, some of the things he said are things we've heard already and haven't seen any action on. But positive sounding statements while he was wearing his ANC hat, that at least the ruling party at the top level understands the urgency of curbing corruption and improving operational efficiency at SOEs.
So apart from SOEs, were there any other takeaways that I guess market watchers or economic analysts were actually paying attention to? Or would you say this was more of the ANC trying to get its house in order?
I think it was largely the ANC trying to show unity, to paint the picture of a united movement. That was very important for them. The theme of unity came out a lot. And they were also very careful. So the president and then Secretary General Esma Hashule and National Chair Gwede Mantashe to shake hands and smile for the cameras afterwards. On the policy front, two things that I made note of when listening to the closing statement were quite a firm insistence on the importance of curbing tax avoidance and illicit capital flows. So that's obviously something that we can all get behind, but something that a lot of very wealthy people in this country have been benefiting from, you know, and not necessarily those close to former President Zuma. So I think that's very encouraging, and perhaps something that makes it possible for him to get some cooperation from more left-leaning members of his party. You know, if he says, okay, look, we have to take some harsh decisions at SOEs, but this isn't like pandering to the rich. We're also going to get what the rich people owe us in taxes by looking for illicit capital flows and curbing tax avoidance. So that was an interesting one. And then on BEE, again, there was an emphasis on control of assets, which is there was no detail given on that. But that's, again, the ANC has confirmed that it intends to see productive capital or the ownership of productive capital transformed. So that's something where you're going to expect to see some initial policy documents come out.
Now, I just need to come back to the UK Africa Investment Summit and the World Economic Forum for a moment. When you just think about the presence of South Africa at some of these events, is there anything that really, you know, really comes out? Because as you highlighted at the beginning, it seemed that it was more important for the president to be at home so that he could be present at the ANC's NEC meeting and the Lakotla. But apart from that, when it comes to the global gatherings, are we as South Africa getting anything out of that, or is it just a big sort of networking event?
It's a big networking event. It does add some value in other areas. I mean, international relations between countries tend to be better when their leaders meet every now and again. So that's why we always make a big deal out of it when two leaders meet for the first time. It does make a difference when the big bosses know each other and get along well. So again, yeah, I'm sure President Ramaphosa would have liked to be in London. Everyone else was there. You know, the Buhari was there, Sisi was there, Kenyatta was there, and it was a big occasion for Boris Johnson then to sort of show that Britain is facing out, you know, and it's going to leave the EU, but it's still got a lot of friends in the world. So I think he would have been disappointed that the president wasn't there too. But the practical implications of his absence are, you know, negligible. And pretty much the same thing at Davos. So more there's more people there. And then more, obviously there's a big private sector component and increasingly a civil society angle to Davos. So it is good for our top politicians to get to meet a few people there. But again, you know, if 1 year the president misses it and sends three deputies, it's not a big deal.
Earlier on, you were talking about the fact that when it comes to what was happening at home with the ANC, do you think, particularly with the two things that you noted just around the BEE control of assets, as well as the issue of tax avoidance and illicit capital flows and the like, do you see this actually gaining traction, I guess, in terms of actual policies coming in on the ground, or is this just more rhetoric coming out from the ruling party?
No, I think this is an area where I think we're going to see action sooner rather than later. So on the policy front, that's complicated in the sense that a lot of these illicit capital flows, I mean, almost the most serious losses to tax revenues come from, you know, creative accounting by big multinational corporations, where the firms take advantage of bilateral tax agreements that we have with various other countries. You know, they play on those. So that's very hard to change quickly. What is easier to change in the short term is the institutional capacity of SARS to get the tax that it's owed. And as I understand it, there's some movement there.
Now, Francois, as we, you know, perhaps go on, I think earlier in the week, some news broke where, because South Africa's growth forecast has been bleak for some time now, and the IMF seems to have joined the bandwagon and has actually cut South Africa's growth forecast. Can you shed a little bit of light on this for us?
Yes. So, growth is not looking. Let's say the growth outlook isn't looking terrific. As you say, the IMF cut its growth forecast from 0.9%. This is now for 2020 to 0.8. The World Bank's got it at 0.9. At NKC, we've got it at 0.9, but might cut depending on how the fast-moving indicators look. We think that, looking at some of these indicators, especially the mining production print in November, we think that there's a very good chance we had a technical recession in the second half of last year. Q3 saw GDP shrink by 0.6%. And then so when the Q4 number comes out, probably late March, we think there's a good chance we're going to see that Q4 saw a contraction as well. In response to these tight conditions to make more money available in the economy, as you say, the Reserve Bank decided on the 16th to cut the repo rate by 25 basis points to 6.25%. The hope is that then consumers have a little more money to spend, your mortgage costs are a little bit less, and you can, and then that money will flow into the economy and boost consumption and growth that way.
Do you think that that rate cut will have that intended effect? At least, as you said, you are projecting that Q4 2019 is likely going to see a contraction. So, do you think that this cut will actually help SA consumers in the way that perhaps the Reserve Bank hopes it will?
Yes, it will help. Every little bit helps. So, a few extra rands for consumption spending will help. But whether the difference will be big enough to make a serious, or whether the difference will be big, I doubt it. I think electricity supply is a much more serious constraint to the economy than slight changes in consumer spending that we can see here and there. And the signs there aren't good at all.
Okay. So as we round off the discussion, the last thing we just wanted to check from you, earlier on you mentioned the fact that as NKC, you guys do have your projections at 0.9%, and you might look at revising that. What are some of the things that you're looking at, I guess, in the next couple of months that could affect what the projection will actually come out to be?
Mining and retail are the ones that we look at the most, and then agriculture. But I mean, that's a lot more seasonal. But yeah, I think mining is the one that you want to look at, and then employment numbers.
Okay, so that's been us with Francois Conradie, who is a senior political economist at NKC African Economics. And he just has told us that the IMF cut its SA growth forecast by about zero, down to 0.8%. They, as NKC, still have theirs at 0.9%.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
It was an interesting discussion with Francois from NKC. I like the fact that he admits that South Africa's presence at some of these, global conferences, the summits, etc., it's more of a networking thing. But that doesn't take away from its importance, because I think what's important is just having South Africa's presence there. Previously, it was actually highlighted that the president was there when Japan did their Africa, their Africa summit, because a number of developed countries are trying to invest in Africa, and the president has been at those different summits. And when you think about the fact that when he came into power, he's been on this big investment drive, and in his first few months in office, he was going around the world trying to raise all this money, and he's had two investment summits so far, people pledging, I think, 300 in the first year, 350 just last year, billion rand to the economy. So I think in terms of the investment drive, it's important for South Africa to be at some of these things. But the fact that he wasn't there also highlights the fact that at home, at home. There are issues at home that really, really do need to be fixed. When you see yourself not going out to chase the money, then it means that what's at home is really, really important. And the ANC and the fact that there's so much internal conflict, they might not admit it. And I like the fact that Francois highlights the fact that it wasn't a talk show. It was an opportunity for the ANC to show unity. I like the fact that he said it like that, that it wasn't therefore posturing, it was just so that the ANC could appear united. And South Africa really needs that right now. And especially when you think about what's going on with the SOEs, you've got a new CEO at Eskom, who I think has the toughest job in South Africa right now, because the tough thing about Eskom is the politics, right? Simply because my question is, is Andre de Reiter going to be allowed to do his job? The role of the chairman, as far as I'm concerned, when you see an institution like Eskom, is that the role of the chairman is that the chairman is meant to be there to block and attack the government. You're meant to just make sure that you give your CEO enough room to do what they do. Look at what Jabu Mabuza, who recently resigned as CEO of chairman at Eskom. Andre comes in, it's a tough job simply because the guy who fought for him to be in the job is gone. So what protection does he have? Highlighting more of the politics. Again, if you look at the way that Telkom has grown in the last 5 to 6 years, is because the same guy, Jabu Mabuza, was chairman at Telkom this whole time. Jabu Mabuza blocked and attacked government so well that he allowed Sipho Maseko to grow that mobile division so well. So the politics is very important. And I think President Ramaphosa has this balancing act that he's trying to do. You're trying to make sure that the party, you know, stays together, and you're trying to make sure that at the same time the economy grows, whilst at the same time there's this big reality show called the State Capture Inquiry that's going on, trying to weed out all the corruption in the country. On the last point, 25 basis points, I really wonder what's going to happen, if it will be enough to actually spur economic growth, simply because, yeah, sure, you can reduce it, gives some relief to South African consumers, but there's so many retrenchments going on at the moment. It makes you wonder, like, what's the use of having more disposable, of having a mechanism for more disposable income if a person isn't getting an income? You understand what I mean? So it's a tough one from that end. And then I'm not surprised at all that the IMF has cut its growth projection. I've heard numbers. Today, Francois was highlighting 0.9, 0.8. I've heard numbers 0.7, 0.6 already. So it depends on what the year has to offer. But otherwise, it's going to be an interesting week. Just looking forward to seeing what President Ramaphosa has in store for the next couple of months. Yeah. So that's been it in terms of today's episode of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our producer and our team, that is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza, and this has been the Business Day Spotlight. So remember that we are a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.